Okay, before we get started this morning, I want to say something to you real quick if I can. There's something beautiful about the church of God gathering together and proclaiming what God has done for us, right? And there's something beautiful about us just declaring the gospel in its simplest and most pure form. And we've seen that happen several different ways. Baptism this morning, but also as we were singing that last song, all the poor and powerless, all the lost and lonely, right? All of those folks, those are the ones that God has poured his spirit out, that God has given himself over to. And so the truth is that many of us, most of us, all of us in this room who've come to Christ, we have been the poor. We have been the powerless. We've been the lost. We've been the broken. We've experienced a touch, a healing touch from Jesus that's changed everything about who we are. Do you believe that's true this morning, first off? Do you believe that's true in your life? Okay, let me say that again. Do you believe it's true, right, that we've received a healing touch from Jesus that's changed everything about who we are? Do you believe that? Yes. So do I. So do I. So when a song like that comes around and we're singing these words are and this music is playing and we're singing these words, here's what I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to lose yourself in the truth of those words. And I want to encourage you to sing these truths from the tips of your toes, right? I want to encourage you to use everything that you have as you worship the Lord God for what he's done in your life. I want to encourage you to use every muscle in your body, every part of your soul, every emotion that you have, every corner of your intellect. I want us, when we're worshiping together, to pour ourselves out before the King of Kings and praise him because of how good he's been, because of how he's blessed us, and because of the transformation that he's wrought in our lives. Friends, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus, and we're singing a song like that, right? They should be able to tell by looking at our face as we proclaim those words that we know in the bottom of our souls that those words are true. And if they see us worshiping, and they see this music playing, and they see these words, you know, coming out of our mouths, but it doesn't appear to anyone like we really know it, or like we really believe it, or like we're really hopeful that it's true, then they're getting a wrong impression of who Jesus is and what he's done. And so we need to give gratitude to God, and we also need to testify, shout it from the mountains, y'all. Scream it to the masses how good God has been for us, what he's done in our lives. Do you agree with me about that this morning? All right. And look, every Sunday, guys, we get the wonderful blessing and opportunity to come into this place and to join together as the family of God and to shout at the top of our lungs the salvation of God. And I hope you are as excited as I am every week to do that. You know? Because it's good. What a blessing. Man, what a blessing. So we have been talking about for the past several weeks, we started last week with a new series called Enough. And so what we've been talking about are the doubts and the insecurities that kind of roll around in all of our hearts and heads sometimes. Are we strong enough? Are we good enough? Are we attractive enough? Are we talented enough? All of these insecurities that roll around in our hearts and in our heads. And we've gone to Scripture, to a particular story in Scripture, the story of God calling Moses, right? Because Moses, in this short passage of Scripture, deals with a lot of the same insecurities that you and I deal with. And so this morning, we're continuing on in that. And I want to just start off by telling you a little bit about myself and what this has looked like for me, this particular struggle that we're talking about this morning. So this same time last year, a little bit before this same time last year, I became your pastor on January the 10th of last year. But about 6 or 8 months before that, okay, I was the dean of students at Wayland Baptist University, and I was a pastor of a little church in Plainview, Texas, Stonebridge Fellowship. And guys, it was probably the worst time in the last 40 years to do either one of those jobs, okay, by themselves, all right? The dean of students job, it's hard enough to be the dean of students and to be the one who, when students get in trouble, they have to come and see you. Those of you who know me, like, that is like, the opposite of my personality, okay? I am not the person who's like, I'm sorry, you've messed up. We're going to have to kick you out of school. Like, that is not me. I hated doing that. I hated every minute of doing that. It was so hard for me. And a lot of days, I just came home just completely wrung out from the stress of doing that job. But then when you added on to that the responsibility of caring for 500 residential students and making sure that they were safe in the midst of a global pandemic, y'all, I was stressed. Okay, that was a hard job. And the truth was, like, I'm watching, you know, numbers and COVID stuff go on all around me. And the truth was that when we started school in the fall, I literally had no hope that I was going to be able to do anything that would protect these students from getting sick or from not falling into the trap of COVID, that would protect them and their educational goals. I had no hope that I was going to be able to do any of it. My only goal every day when I came to work was, let me just see if I can make it to the end of this day without losing my ever-loving mind, right? That's how I spent every day. And as a pastor, it was the same thing. I mean, I talked to pastors all the time who were in the same kind of situation I was in. But man, the last couple of years have been really stressful and really scary for pastors. I mean, I went through 4 months, 3 or 4 months there where I didn't really see anybody who went to my church at all. And you understand that as a pastor, the reason you become a pastor is because you want to do life with people. You want to be with them, right? When things are hard, when things are crazy, you want to be in fellowship with them. That's why I became a pastor. And so for months, I wasn't able to do that most essential function of being a pastor. And I didn't know how everybody was doing. I didn't know what was going on in their lives. I was trying everything I could do to try to keep up with everybody. But the reality was that I didn't have any hope that anything that I was doing was making a difference for those people. I didn't know what was going to happen if or when we ever were able to get back and meet together again. I mean, I was scared. I was terrified. I was nervous. I felt like I was failing every day. And so my job was just every day. It was just like, man, can I just make it through today? Can I make it through today as a pastor? And not just completely give up. That's how it was. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you worked in healthcare the last couple of years, you know what I'm talking about. You know how it feels to wake up in the morning and think, if I can just make it to tonight, when I put my head back on this pillow, if I can just make it to tonight, that will be a success. You know what it feels like to just be in survival mode. I think there's a lot of us here who have been through that. Some of us may be in that situation this morning. Maybe you're in a particularly stressful situation at work this morning. Maybe you're facing a problem or a wound in your life that's just eating up all of your focus and your attention. And you're just trying to manage the pain every day. You're not even thinking about thriving or succeeding or doing things well. You're just trying to make it. You're struggling in your relationship with your family, with your spouse. Maybe you're dealing with a financial crisis. The bills are piling up. There doesn't seem any way out, and you're stressed, and you're just trying to make it through every day without buckling. I think there's a lot of us that live that way. Some of us watching on the live stream, but that's where we are. That's what we're feeling today. It's hard sometimes. It feels impossible even to imagine anything better than just making it through. And the fact is that there are hundreds of millions of people all over the world who live like this every day. Right now, as we're gathered in this place this morning, hundreds of millions of people, each day for them is just a struggle to survive. They have no ability to dream about or save for the future. They're just trying to make it. In the capital city of Guatemala City, there's a big canyon kind of on the outskirts of town, and that's become, over the course of time, the trash dump for the city. And so everybody dumps their trash into this big canyon, and it's massive. I'm talking like acres of trash just outright on the outskirts of the city. But the thing is, there are literally thousands of people who their lives, they live in the trash dump. And their lives are, every morning they wake up, and they scavenge through the trash dump trying to find some recyclable things that they can turn in for a little bit of money or something in there that they can use to provide for their family. Every day they wake up hoping that by the end of the day, by the time they finish the day, they will have gathered enough stuff up to provide one meal for their family so that they can eat that night. That's how they spend every day. Children as young as 6, 7 years old get up early in the morning and spend all day scavenging through this trash dump. When I say trash dump, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. There are constant fires burning, you know, because they burn down sections of it every now and then. And fires constantly burning, smoke billowing over, an unbelievable, overpowering, incredible stench. And there are whole families, thousands of people, that's where they live every day. They wake up in the morning and they just hope to get enough so that at the end of the day they can feed their family and not starve to death. That's how they live. Not dreaming about the future. Not hoping for what they might accomplish or do one day. Not saving up for some big trip or family thing or college education or anything like that. There's no thought of thriving. We're just trying to survive. That's exactly where Moses was. He was on the run. He was in hiding. He was living among a foreign people. He was caring for a bunch of sheep out in the wilderness. He had no plan, no hope, no purpose. Just trying to survive. Just trying to keep his head down. That's where the people of Israel were. Enslaved. Oppressed, existing in crushing poverty, persecuted and humiliated every day, just trying to survive. And as I'm describing some of that this morning, you identify with pieces of that. We've been there. Maybe we are there this morning. But from this passage of Scripture that we're focusing on this morning, I believe that there are some powerful truths that God wants for those of us who are just in survival mode. I'm just trying to survive right now. There's some powerful truths that God wants for us to take from this passage of Scripture that will encourage us this morning if we'll allow it. Look with me, if you would, at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Here's what the word of the Lord says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. It says, then the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. The first thing that I believe God wants for you and I to hear from this passage of Scripture this morning, the first truth that I believe he has for those of us who find ourselves in survival mode this morning is this. God sees us. God sees us. That's what he says. He says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. That's what he says. Do you understand how powerful that statement is? The Lord sees and knows the suffering that they're facing. I mean, sometimes we read this story, we assume that the Lord heard the people of Israel crying out to him, right? The people of Israel who faithfully loved God were crying out to him and asking for help. That's what we assume. But I hope you notice that that's not what the passage says. The passage doesn't say, I've seen the oppression of my people, I've heard their cries of distress that they're making to me. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, when we look at this passage of Scripture, they may or may not have even been worshiping God at this time. In fact, what we see is during the exile, when they leave the Exodus, when they leave Egypt, what we find out is that many of the people of Israel have adopted the worship of the local Egyptian gods. They may or may not have even been crying out to the Lord. They were just crying out in their distress. But it didn't even matter. It didn't matter because the Lord loved them, because God knew them, and God saw them in their distress. God heard their cries. God sees them and hears them and cares about them, whether they were acknowledging him as Lord or not. He sees them. And I want you to know that the same thing is true for you this morning. Look, I don't know why you came to church at First Baptist Church Shallow Water today. I don't know why you joined us on the live stream today, but I bet that there are some of us. We don't even know what we think about God or Jesus. We may not even believe in God at all. We certainly don't know if crying out to him would do any good, so we're not doing it. And even though we're struggling, even though we're going through a really difficult or painful season in our lives, we don't have any hope that there's a God somewhere who knows us, who sees us, who hears us, who wants to help us. Well, you don't need to believe it for it to be true. You don't need to acknowledge it in order for it to be true this morning. God loves you. God sees you. He sees you exactly where you are this morning. He sees the stress, the anxiety, the hurt that you're dealing with this morning. He sees. He knows. But listen to this. God's not just aware of our suffering. God has experienced our suffering. In the person of Jesus Christ, he came to earth, he wrapped himself in human flesh, and he was humiliated and persecuted and abused, and he was ultimately murdered. He doesn't just know about how it feels to suffer, to go through difficult or painful times, to just feel like the best I can do today is just survive. He's had days like that. He's experienced them. He knows exactly what they feel like. He knows what it's like to struggle just to stay alive. He did all of that. He made himself into human form, right? So that he could experience everything that you and I experience. Why? Because he loves you. Because you are precious to him. Because you matter. Because he wants for you to know that he sees you. And he hears you. My girls, they get annoyed with me sometimes. Actually, they get annoyed with me a lot of times, okay? I'm annoying, all right? As a father, I admit that freely, okay? But one of the things that I tell them all the time is I'll tell them, you're precious to your dad. You know, I'll say, do you know that you're precious to your old dad? They're like, yes, dad. You know, I even have a song that I sing to Sadie. I sing it to her every day when I'm dropping her off at school. It's her favorite. Sometimes I roll the window down and sing it real loud as she's getting out of the car. It's good. I sing, somebody here is precious to their dad, you know? Somebody here is precious to their dad. Oh, somebody here is precious. Hey, somebody here is precious. Hey, somebody here is precious to their dad. I sing it through every day. And as soon as I start into it, she's like, dad, you know? But I want her to know. I want her to know. I want for that to be locked down. I want for that to be secure in her heart. Because all the rest of the world, sometimes she's not going to feel precious to her friends. She's not going to feel like she's precious to her teachers or to her classmates. She's not going to feel like she's precious to this crazy, chaotic world that we live in. But I want her to know. I want her to have it on lockdown. If she doesn't feel like she's precious to anyone or anything else in the world, she needs to know she is precious to me. And I will pour out my own lifeblood for her. That's how much I love her. And she also needs to know that as precious as she is to me, as much as I love her, it doesn't even begin to encapsulate the love that God Almighty has for my precious daughter. She's way more precious to him than she is to me. And you are way more precious to him. He sees you. Of course he sees you. He can't take his eyes off of you. He loves you. You are precious to him. He's certainly seen your struggle. But he doesn't just see us, y'all. God rescues us. Look at verse 8. Look at what it says in verse 8. It says, so I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. He didn't just see them. He doesn't just notice that they're in distress. He comes to rescue them. Here's God, right? He's speaking to Moses literally from a burning bush, okay? His presence is clearly manifested in the world right in front of Moses. But he's present. He's not just present for no reason at all. He's present for the purpose of rescue. That's why he's come. That's why he's lit that bush up. That's why he's called Moses over to talk to him, because he's got a plan, because his desire is to rescue his people. He's got a purpose. He doesn't just see them, he's going to deliver them. God doesn't just witness our suffering. He's not just aware of it. He shows up in the middle of our suffering. He shows up in the middle of our anxiety because he desires, y'all, to deliver us from it. And well, that's what God did in Jesus. That's what he did. He came. Just like the presence of God manifests in this burning bush in the middle of the desert, right? Jesus came into the middle of our darkness, into the middle of our suffering, into the middle of our poverty, into the middle of our anxiety. He came into the middle of the brokenness of our world for us, because he desires to deliver us. He desires to deliver you. That's what he's doing right now. Right now, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, is standing in front of you. He's saying, I see you, and I'm going to rescue you if you'll let me. That's who the Lord God is. He comes for us. He comes to save us. But God doesn't just rescue us. Listen, God leads us. I don't know if you caught that second half of that passage, a land, I'm going to lead you into your own fertile and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So God has come to rescue his people from their suffering, but that's not all, to lead them into his blessing. He's not just going to rescue them, he's going to lead them into his blessing. God has something for them. He's got a place for them. He has a dream for them. He has a vocation for them, something that he wants them to do or to accomplish. God wants to lead them into a future that he has for them, and that future is good. That's what he's promising Moses in this moment. This is what I'm going to do. The story of Israel shows how complicated that gets, though. Because even when the presence of Almighty God is with them, leading them to the promised land, the people of Israel still struggle to see it. They still struggle to believe it. They still struggle to follow after God, even though he appears before them as a pillar of fire, even though he appears before them as this huge cloud, right? They still struggle to listen and obey Almighty God. But God is faithful even in the midst of their unfaithfulness. He still rescues them. He still leads them. He still leads them into the blessing that he's promised for them. Following God was hard, right? They were constantly wanting to turn around and go back. But in order to take them to the promised land, God had to first lead them through a desert. So it's not always easy when God is leading us to blessing. Sometimes leading us to blessing means going through really difficult times. But here's what you need to know this morning. God has someplace he wants to take you. He wants to lead you into his blessing. And the question that we have to ask this morning is, are we willing to follow him? Are we willing to follow him wherever it is that he leads? The only way to blessing is through obedience. Did you know that? The only way to blessing is through obedience. And that's what the Lord is calling you and I to this morning. So God leads us, God rescues us, right? God sees us, but God sends us. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. It says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. He tells Moses, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. God shows up in the middle of the wilderness to Moses, who's just trying to scrape by. He's just trying to keep his head down. But God rescued Moses as a baby, and he's with Moses in the wilderness, and he calls Moses to accomplish his purpose. God calls Moses out of survival mode. Moses just trying to make it, just trying to survive through the day, and God appears to him and says, I've got something for you. God rescues Israel from slavery. He leads them into the wilderness, and he calls them to be a nation of priests. Even though right now, in this moment, all they could imagine was just survive the day, just survive the day. God says, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to lead you to the wilderness. I'm going to make you my own holy people. You will embody my character before the world, and my salvation will be delivered to the world through you. God has a plan for Israel, and God has a plan for you. You may be just trying to survive right now, but God's got a plan, something that he desires to accomplish in you. He's calling you this morning, and he's sending you this morning. And you may be thinking, well, I don't know how I could do anything. I'm just trying to make it, Brad. I don't think you understand what I struggle with. I don't think you understand where I'm living right now. I don't think you understand how dark things are around me right now. It doesn't change anything. The Lord God has a plan. The Lord God has a purpose. He's sending you. So you may be asking, this is a good question. You may be saying, okay, Brad, well, what do I do? I mean, that's all fun. That's all good stuff that you said. God sees, rescues, blah, blah, blah. What am I supposed to do with that? How does that make a difference in my life? Well, let me tell you three things that you can do, start doing this morning that I believe are going to lead you to a relationship with Christ that you couldn't imagine and to blessing and calling and purpose that you couldn't imagine. The first thing is this. Stop looking at your struggle and start looking to Christ. Stop looking at your struggle and start looking to Christ. Now look, as soon as those words come out of my mouth, I understand how difficult that is. It sounds really simple, but when you're going through something, when you're struggling with something, it is really hard not to focus on it. Sometimes things hurt so bad in our lives that it just draws all of our attention, and we find ourselves consumed by the struggle because it's so painful and it's so real. We have to work, actually. We have to work to tear our eyes away from suffering and to place our gaze on Christ. It takes effort. It takes energy. I'm not pretending that it's easy. It's not. But let me challenge you this morning to stop being consumed by your suffering and to begin to look to Christ. Let me ask you, what are you focused on? What are you focused on this morning? If the answer to that question is anything other than Jesus, let me humbly suggest there's no way forward from where you are. Not without him. Here's the second thing. Start practicing radical obedience. Start practicing radical obedience. I've already told you, there's no blessing without obedience. Right? And some of us are waiting for God's rescue to come. We're wondering why it hasn't arrived yet. And the truth is that we haven't allowed God to lead us. We're not experiencing God's rescue because we're not doing what God has told us to do. We're not living like God has told us to live. And until we obey, friends, there's no way out of the suffering that we're experiencing right now. Not any real way. Until we obey, until we listen, until we allow God to lead us, there's no way to get to the blessing that he has for us. Listen, we can't walk into God's blessing if we're running after our own desires. Did you hear that? We can't walk into God's blessing if we're running after our own desires. And some of us, that's where we're living today. If you're wondering, why do I feel stuck? Why am I in this moment where I just keep circling around the same drain? It could be because we need to obey. There are things that God's called us to put down. There are things that we're doing in our lives that we know are harmful, that we know are not God's will for us, but we continue to do them anyway. God's calling us right now. Are you ready to obey me? Are you ready to follow me where I'm going to lead you? No, it won't be easy. Yes, it will require sacrifice. And yes, my blessing is on the other side. That's what the Lord God says to you and I this morning. So let me ask you, who or what are you following this morning? If the answer is anything other than Jesus, let me humbly suggest there's no way forward from where you are. Here's the last thing. Watch for opportunities to point others to Christ. Watch for opportunities to point others to Christ. Listen, God doesn't just want to bless you. God wants to use you. You can try to hide out in the wilderness with the sheep if you want to. You can walk around with blinders on, pretending like you don't see all of the lost and hurting people all around you. You can do that if you want to. I mean, Moses, he even saw the suffering around him. He saw his fellow Hebrew being persecuted by an Egyptian. He tried to solve that problem in his own strength. All he did was make it worse, right? All he did was cause more of a problem. And when that didn't work, when he tried to address it in his own strength and it didn't work, you know what he did? He just ran away. He just ran away. He's like, I give up. And he ran off into the wilderness. He was in total hiding out there, pretending like that Israel wasn't still suffering under the oppression of Egypt, pretending like they weren't still being beaten and abused by the Egyptian masters. He pretended like it didn't exist. He's just out there trying to survive. And some of you, that's where you are. You tried to reach out to someone. You tried to minister to someone. You tried to love someone through a problem, but you tried to do it in your own strength. And what happened is you got hurt. And when you got hurt, you just ran. I give up. And you can stay there if you want to. But there's no way to the blessing that God has for you and I unless we're looking for the hurting people around us and asking God to use us to meet their need. That's the whole point of all of this. On Wednesday, this past week, I was talking to our youth group, and we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And I told them, you know what the job of fruit is? Like, fruit grows on a tree, right? So that animals will eat it, or so it will fall off of the tree, so that the seeds inside of that fruit will spread out around the world and cause more of those plants to grow. That's the job of fruit. Our purpose, our sole purpose on this earth is to be an agent of the love of God, to take this transforming love that's been poured out into us and to pour it out into the world around us, to be a conduit for God's blessing to other people. That's our sole purpose. And friends, for some of us, we love that God might want to rescue us or deliver us or see us or whatever else, but we don't have any understanding of how God might want to use us, what he might want to do through us, how he might want to use our life, our testimony, our resources. And because of that, we're not living into the vocation that God's called us to. We'll never see the blessing that God has for us until we're willing to do that. Let me just humbly suggest, if this morning, the question I want to ask you is, where are the hurting people around you? Where are the hurting people around you this morning? How can you help? Look, if that's not a question that you're asking on a daily basis, let me just suggest to you, there's no way forward from where you are until that becomes a burning question in your heart. If our faith is all about making us feel better, then it's a waste of our time. And it's not real faith. So how do we do this together as a body of Christ? Well, let me just tell you, did you know this is why we have grow groups at our church? We have grow groups that meet on Sundays and on Wednesdays. The reason is so that we can get together and do life together and so that we can challenge each other to do these things, to practice radical obedience, you know, to look for the people around us who are hurting, to stop looking at our struggles and to start looking to Christ. We have grow groups in our church because that's where we help each other. That's where we encourage one another to do those three things. If you're in our church this morning, if you're a member of our church and you're not plugged into a grow group, you don't have an accountability accountability group, I need for you to know you are not experiencing all that our church has to offer. You can't grow the way that God wants you to grow unless you have accountability around you, unless you're in relationship with other Christians who are challenging you and who are pointing you to Christ. It can't happen. If you're listening on the live stream, I'm so glad you've done that. I'm so thankful that you've joined us. But can I just humbly say to you, live streams are not enough. You can listen to all the sermons that you want to. You can listen to all the celebrity pastors you want, preach amazing sermons. But if your life is not connected to other believers who are challenging you, who are encouraging you, who are inspiring you to look to Christ, it's not going to be enough. There's no way forward from where you are without that. And that's true for all of us. So what we're going to do in the next few moments is the band's going to come back up and we're going to have another song that's going to be played and we're going to have an opportunity to worship. The song we're going to sing is called Forever Rain. This is an awesome part of the song. So I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The richness of your love will always be enough. And some of us this morning, we need to be reminded that God's love is enough, period. And some of us need to surrender ourselves to that love. But during this moment, while we're singing, like this is not singy time. Okay, this is time for you and I to deal with God. I want you to sing, right? I want for us to sing and worship together, but I want us to do it as a prayer, as we offer our hearts to the Lord, as we ask God to convict us of where we are not focused on Him, of how we're not looking for what He's doing around us, of how we need to obey Him. So we're going to ask God to convict us, to show us where we fall short, and then we're going to surrender that to the Lord this morning. And if you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, you've never said to God, Lord God, I need you. I've tried to do this on my own, and I just keep making a mess out of it. Lord, I need you. Please forgive me. Please rescue me. I give all of myself to you. If you've never said that this morning, if you would say those words to God this morning and mean it, the Holy Spirit of God will come and make His home inside of you. He'll do a work in you that you can't imagine. He'll do a miracle in you, a miracle that we all got to witness this morning when one of our own went into the waters and came up a new creation. That's what He wants to do in your life as well. Raise you to new life. Who's ready for new life? Who's ready to throw old life aside and experience new life this morning? If that's you, today is your day. As soon as this song starts, there's going to be some people down here at the front. I'll be down here at the front. My friend Gary will be down at the front. You come down here if you need help, if you need somebody to help you pray to receive Christ. That's what we're here for this morning. If you just need someone to pray for you, we want to do that. But as soon as the music starts, come down. Don't miss this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with you. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your Spirit, for your presence. You see us. God, you see us. Our suffering is not lost on you. You know it. And not only do you know it, but you're moving on our behalf. You want to rescue us this morning. Help us to receive your rescue. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.